Eastern Palliative Care is a not-for-profit service which offers a full range of support programs with the aim of improving the quality of life of individuals and the families of those suffering life-limiting or terminal illnesses. Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. This is the Eastern Palliative Care Show. And on the phone, I have Eastern Palliative Care volunteer Jan. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're a volunteer mainly involved in the admin side of things, is that right?
That's correct, yes. I started some years ago back in, I think I trained in 2016. And I've done work in many of the areas. So I've been involved with home support and transport and also assisted with printing and things for biography. But as the time's gone by, I found that my niche is really in the admin side of things. So there's a lot of tasks that we undertake that our coordinators are better off doing other things while we do these things. So there's a lot of time used on things like data entry and making up folders and all sorts of things like that. So it's a case of many hands make light work.
Yeah, that's true, and volunteers help all sorts of organisations, as well as EPC. What about your background? Were you involved in admin all your life, or was this a new thing?
No, I got a nursing background. I was in, grew up in New Zealand and did my nursing training there, and then came to Melbourne back in the 80s and worked predominantly in the children's hospital, and did that until I had my own family, and now I have two boys who are in their 20s, and decided after a while, we had our own business back there in the 90s, I think, which I was involved with admin for, and then it sort of came across an advertisement for EPC, and I'd had heard of EPC. A friend of mine, her husband had passed away, and
yeah,
she was telling me how supportive the EPC group had been, and then shortly thereafter I saw an ad for it and thought, this could be something I might be interested in. So I made some inquiries and got accepted into the training program, and it went from there.
Now, I've noticed among the EPC volunteers there's quite a few nurses or ex-nurses who've heard of EPC or had dealings with them in the past and decided to shift their focus with their volunteering hours to EPC, even if they're not doing nursing. Nurses seem to have an understanding of what EPC is all about and an empathy with their cause.
I think so, and it's nice to be able to take off your nursing hat and leave that to somebody else, but still be able to share the knowledge that you have in terms of empathy and support.
Yeah.
You are listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
This is the Eastern Palliative Care Show, having a chat with Jan, who's a volunteer with EPC, as an admin. Now, Jan, what sort of things are you expected to do or tasked to do with EPC as an admin?
Well, there's a lot of admin tasks that can be done by volunteers. So one of the main ones that I'm involved with is the monthly data entry. So we have to, as part of the volunteers' work, they fill in their hours, and then that goes to a report. And then we have to enter the hours into a program which is sent out to the government, so it's a fairly important one that has to be done. We have 245 volunteers, so when we're entering data for all of them across the month, it can be quite involved. When I first started, there were just two of us doing it.
Yeah.
And I think now it's increased to there were four of us doing it on a monthly basis. So we had a number of people who do it, and we'd do it probably once every second month. So that was a fairly regular one that we knew about that was coming up. I was also involved in putting folders together for information sessions for the bereavement program. So
right,
once
yep,
a client has passed away, the EPC provides support to the families for up to 12 months afterwards. So they have information sessions that go through the sorts of services they can provide and the support that they can offer. So those need to be put together, and it's just, you know, lots and lots of paperwork needs to go into lots of folders. So that's another one that I was doing. In the past, we had a survey that we did on a personal basis. So a group of us were charged with the task of going out and visiting clients and their carers and just chatting with them about how they found the service and, you know, anything that they could suggest to improve it.
Yeah.
So that was really worthwhile. That was a great experience to be a part of, because people were profoundly pleased with the service that had been provided and really enjoyed having the opportunity to tell us about that as well. So that was quite a good one. Throughout the year, we have regular mail-outs, and that can be for newsletters predominantly. So that's up to four times a year. Or if there's a one-off thing that's required where we have to send out information to the client, then they call on the volunteers to see who can come in and do some envelope stuffing. That's always a good laugh. The more we have lots of hands on deck for that one. And,
yeah.
There's lots of chatter, and we really enjoy getting together and doing something useful as well. So that's probably the major roles that we take part in, yeah.
Yeah, the data entry on the volunteer hours is also very important, because the amount of time given would probably affect maybe some funding from government, extra
that's
support
exactly.
for the next yeah. year. They have to prove that, you know, certain things are happening with volunteer
that's
hours.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. So we have four coordinators for the volunteers. So I guess they have to show that they're doing something with it, or we're doing something for them. When I first started, we had just manual entry, and it was fairly cumbersome. But then they sort of upgraded to a computer program, which is really very efficient and easy to use once you get stuck into it. So that's been a good step.
Yeah, so data entry, support, ongoing supports, done survey work, and involved in all the mail-outs. And because the mail-outs, I'm used to getting things electronically, even though I'm a bit older,
yeah.
but a lot of people aren't, so actual physical
that's
things
right.
mailed to their letterbox is very handy.
Well, prior to COVID, we were doing a lot of physical mail-outs, and I think part of that was because a lot of the clients that EPC saw were generally older, and often they weren't very comfortable or capable, you know, they just didn't have the knowledge to use the emails and things and didn't really want to.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it was always good to get something out in the mail. That's had to change, of course, with COVID, because I think if the volunteer coordinators had been able to take up the slack of all the things that we did, they would be struggling under the weight of it.
Yes.
So they've had to streamline a few things, and electronic data, newsletters and things, has become more the norm.
Yeah, especially in these times when our movements and everything are restricted as well.
Yes.
A lot of electronic stuff.
You're with Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
Greg Carrick here, having a chat with Jan, a volunteer with Eastern Palliative Care. And Jan volunteers as an admin and does all sorts of stuff there that frees up the staff to do other important tasks. Jan, about how many hours a week would you put in?
It varies a lot. The coordinators are very conscious of making sure that EPC doesn't become all-encompassing, so they like us to have a bit of balance.
Yeah.
Having said that, when you are sort of locked in with some of the groups that work through admin, we have regular hours. So we have the data entry is something that has to be done on a monthly basis to get the figures through to the government in terms of the hours that have been put in by the volunteers over the previous month. When I first started doing it, there were only two of us doing it, and we got through it in the morning. That was fine. But as the numbers of volunteers have increased and the hours have increased, obviously, we've now got four people who do it each month, and we have probably seven or eight people who we rotate around so that we all sort of share the load. And then some of the other things, one of the things I do is preparing folders for bereavement sessions, and they happen every couple of months.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of getting the folders together with all the information that covers off on things that, services that are available and support that's offered to clients following the death of a loved one. They have the 12-month period afterwards, so there's a lot of support that can be continued on that way. So that's something that's done every couple of months for two or three hours, and then the mail-outs happen about three, four times a year. And depending on the size of the mail-out, depends on the length of time it takes to do it. It's usually a group of 20-plus trying to knock it over in the morning, which we can usually get through.
Now, I imagine when you started, you would have travelled into EPC building to do it there, whereas yes. now with the COVID restrictions, which has affected sort of everybody's work life, you would be doing a lot more things online.
We're actually not able to do very much online in the volunteering space.
Yeah.
EPC has, you know, certain restrictions around work going off-site. So we unfortunately are twiddling our thumbs a little bit in data entry land and looking forward to when we can go back and take that role up again.
Yeah. With EPC, I know they're heavily involved in looking after their volunteers, and I've noticed that they do a lot of Zoom meetings and coffee chat type mornings via Zoom with their volunteers every week. And you get involved in any of those?
I do. They've been wonderful, actually, in keeping us all sort of supported and connected. They started off doing Zoom meetings early on, and we started just having coffee with the COVID, and that was a fortnightly, just a general chat session where we all just talked about how things were going for us and touched base with each other. So that was good. And then that kind of evolved into doing some training sessions. And so we had Zoom meetings with volunteers from other services to talk about how they did things and different things like that. And that went well as well. And then as COVID progressed and the reality of it all hit home that we're all going to be doing this a whole lot longer, the girls started coordinating some masterclasses. So we had some very talented volunteers amongst our group who had skills of a whole range of things. And so we've had different classes running. We're on our second round of them. So some of the things that we've been doing is we've had a mindfulness session that was running once a week, and that was fabulous. So good, in fact, that we managed to convince the presenter to run it for the second round. So that's been really, really good. So the feedback on that is, I think one of the coordinators said, I really need you here on a Monday morning to kind of get me in the right space for the week. So that was doing really good. We had a cooking around the world session in the first round.
Yeah.
And some of the other things we've got going currently, we had a lady talk to us about decluttering, which I think is a challenge for a lot of people. I was telling my brother about it, and he said, well, it's easy, isn't it? You either want it or you don't.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, it's practical as a man can make it, but, yeah, very different. There's people doing card making. There are people who did a photography course, which I think you might have known a little bit about. And we also had somebody doing some gardening. And I think the other one that's going on this time round is another cooking session. So the lady that does the catering for EPC for all the training sessions and functions, she's been brilliant and given so freely of her time and taught us so many interesting tricks and tips for making life easier. So that's been a very popular one, and that's coming to an end, unfortunately. So we're having our last session tomorrow, where she's going to give us some quick Christmas tips, but she's going to be doing another one in November that's going to give us all the gen on how to do Christmas more easily and not stress about it quite so much. So there's been a lot going on in the world of keeping us all connected, which has been brilliant, because not everybody has social connections that they can stay connected to particularly well at this time.
Yes, so, that's true.
Yeah, so I think it's been a very, very positive thing to have access to, and we all really appreciate it.
They recently had an online auction at EPC.
Yes, they did. Yes, they had a function planned. It was a luncheon, I think, and a fashion parade, and there was an auction scheduled to be part of that as well, and unfortunately that had to be cancelled due to COVID, but they managed to do the online auction, converted it to an online auction and progressed that way, because obviously fundraising is an important part of what we can do with EPC, because yes, you get funds from the government, but there's always money that, you know, it doesn't quite go everywhere you might want it to go. So it was a bit disappointing that we weren't able to do it and have the luncheon, but I'm sure, looking forward, we'll probably find another way to do something like that maybe next year.
They also had various volunteers making masks for EPC.
Yes, that was one of the things they did. I think some of them did scrubs as well. So, you know, they managed to find talents that many people sort of don't even realise they can utilise. So making the masks was easy. We were just given a pattern and, you know, bring out the sewing machine that's been in the cupboard forever and a day. to see how easy it is to make masks. And I think, you know, the reality is masks are going to be a thing of our lifetime for a fair while to come. So the more we can have, the better.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
It's 24 minutes to 3 here on the Eastern Palliative Care Show, where I'm having a chat with Jan, who's a volunteer in the admin side of things, and very busy, even though, you know, these COVID restrictions have changed the way not only her, but all of us are doing work. Jan, now I want to talk a bit about stuff you do outside, you know, just to relax. I hear you're a bit of a gardener.
I do like getting out in the garden.
Is this something you've liked even when you were younger?
Oh, no, I was never really a garden person when I was younger.
Yeah.
It wasn't my thing at all. And the house we bought, my mum moved in with us, and I said to her, the garden's too big, I can't do this. She goes, no, the garden's lovely, I'll look after the garden for you. So she was fabulous. But then she passed away, and suddenly I've got this huge garden that I have to look after. So I do enjoy getting out in the garden, especially on the nicer days, which we seem to be having. And, yeah, there's lots that I want to do. But even you sort of think about going to Bunnings to buy some plants and you go, oh, I can't actually do that.
Yes. Now, I know, Gard, I'm probably one of the world's worst gardeners, not just for a lack of time, but the knowledge you need to have, like, you know, I think, oh, I should prune the roses. Oh, no, you can't do it this week. You've got to wait 3 more weeks.
I know. There are people who are so knowledgeable. I have to laugh, though. My gardener, I have a gardener who comes and does the lawn for me, because there's quite a lot of lawn, and he had to stop because of COVID, and he's only just started that.
Yeah.
And I said to him, it's really quite funny, my lawns will be looking forward to seeing you, but not as much as I'm looking forward to seeing my hairdresser.
Yes.
So the lawns are looking lovely now, but maybe not the hair.
So your gardening, is that Australian sort of natives, or do you go for exotics or roses or...?
No, just anything that will grow without me having to do too much to it. So
I like
to always have a little bit of colour in the garden, and I plant things sort of a bit haphazardly, and then when they grow, I realise they're in the wrong spot. So I've kind of been reconfiguring the garden in my head. So there's a few things I need to move and rearrange and get sorted out going into the summertime. So I think that's going to be my task for myself, is to get that all in order.
Yeah, well, with gardening, there's no end to it, because there's the maintenance of what's there, there's planting new things, and then there's, you know, that's without even getting involved in, say, vegetable patches and things.
That's right, yes. So there's a lot that you can be doing. So it's good that I have come to enjoy it, because there's quite a bit there. So it's something that I do enjoy getting out and doing, and it's, you know, just sort of takes you away from everything else, and you can just go out and potter in the garden and then see the fruits of it all come to bear later on.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Jan. And I know your work, some people are into admin and that sort of thing, and others would find it a bit mind-numbing, but it's an absolute necessity. So thank you very much for what you do with EPC there. Now, for those interested in EPC and want to maybe get involved, there's a couple of things. You can either get on their website, which is epc.asn.au. They also have a Facebook page. You can check them out on Facebook. It's EPCAUS for those who are into Facebook. And they have lots of different roles. We've been hearing from different volunteers over the last few weeks. So thank you, Jan, again for your work.
That's right, thank you.
But yeah, all sorts of volunteer opportunities out there with EPC. So the website, epc.asn.au. And thanks again for your time, Jan, and have a great week.
Thank you, you too.